All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to talk about why we fish. This came in to us from a listener that actually emailed us and is like, hey, why do you guys even do what you do? We're like, what?
Well, it means all of it, right? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do the podcast? We've had a lot of questions like that too. Why do you guys do that? How did you get into it?
What's going on? Yeah. Why are you giving all that up? And here it is because it doesn't matter what you give up. You still got to be able to go out and do, right? So, you know what I mean?
It's 100%. You know, just because we're maybe helping people out with things we've learned doesn't mean they can set the hook.
Yeah, that's right. So why fish? Why not play basketball?
Well, why did you get into it?
Well, I can't play basketball. I'm only 5'9", yeah, so that's...
Well, that's self-explanatory. Yeah. If you guys saw Brad standing next to Mitch and I, you'd be like, well, and next question.
Yeah, well, you guys don't play basketball either.
But we
could. At least I'm athletic.
The point is we could, right, yeah. Mitch? Give me a little right there. Right.
Yeah. You could stand out there and be one of the tall guys, but you still suck.
So why did you get started?
Well, I remember when I was 5 years old was the first time that I had...
All right, bull.
No, I do.
Come bull on that.
No, I remember where I lived. We lived up in Summit County, Colorado, when I got into fishing. So I'd really never done it much.
I always knew he was a trout guy.
Oh, yeah. Born and bred.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I don't even remember going fishing at that age, but I remember getting my first rod and reel, not the Zebco, not the little... Snoopy.
No, they didn't have them back then.
I don't know, but I don't remember having one.
Snoopy was barely alive back then.
I know. It was a minute ago. But, no, so I had a regular fishing pole. I mean, to me, it was probably a 5 foot. I don't even know. Mm. But it was one of the push buttons, like the Zebco 202s or 303s. Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
Those weren't necessarily, quote, unquote, beginner rods back then. I mean, a lot of guys had Zebcos.
I remember that was the first. That's my first memory of fishing. And I don't remember going out on the water until we moved to North Dakota, probably when I was like 8. And we started, the first time I really got into fishing was fishing northerns from shore up at Dickinson, or Man's Dam up by Dickinson, North Dakota. It was awesome. But anyway, so when I was 5, this is what got me hooked. My dad bought me this pole, or maybe he gave it to me. It was one of his. I don't even know. I can't remember. And I can't ask him because he passed away. So not going to help me. And I should have asked him, damn it. But anyway... I had this pole.
Way to bring us down, dude.
No, it's not to bring it down. I wish I could ask him. But anyway, yeah, maybe he'll come down and tell me. But I have this pole, and he's like, you got to learn how to. I remember him telling me, you got to learn everything about this pole before I take you out fishing. And to me, I was like, what does that mean? It's a pole and a reel. And so what I did is I took the whole thing apart. I took it all apart. It didn't come with any line at the beginning, so I took apart the drag, the springs, and everything, and put it back.
He's still doing it.
In 50 pieces in his garage because he never got that original one back together.
So I ended up putting it back together, and my dad said, take it all apart, clean it, make it yours. So I did. I put it back together. I don't remember if he helped me or not, but I got it back together.
Spring or two less.
And then put line on it, and I thought that was the coolest thing. That was one of the first things when I was young that was mine. You know what I mean?
Right, yep.
That I got to do on my own.
Absolutely.
And so that pole meant the world to me. Yep. You know, it was probably an $8 rod. I don't even know. And it could have been from a garage sale for all I know.
Right.
But I know that got me into it. I mean, right then and there, I was hooked just taking that thing apart and putting it back together.
Yep.
And then we didn't go fishing a whole lot when we lived up there. But when we moved to North Dakota a year and a half later, I got to test out that baby.
Yeah.
And we cast it from shore. Catching northerns. They seem big to me. I got a picture of me holding one. I'm bear hugging it like a cat. like a cat you're choking out.
Like,
you know,
a big
what I mean?
Laker.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Or sturgeon, right?
So yeah. I got this. I don't know if it was the first northern, but it was probably like a 24-incher if I had to look at it or think about it now. But I'm bear hugging it, holding it. If I have that picture, I'll show it to you.
Yeah. So, well, if you have it, we'll put it as the cover photo.
Because that's what got me into. That's why I fish. I mean, that's what started it.
Yeah. All right, Mitch, your turn.
I'm a lot more now, but.
kind of the same deal when I was little, you know, growing up in Minnesota, that's just what we did.
Yeah. And nothing else to do.
My mom actually was the first one to bring my brother and I fishing. But then I just have memories from being little, and all my brothers and friends, they were all playing baseball and whatnot. And oh no, Mitch was down at the end of the dock by himself with his crawlers that he dug up and his bobber and his 202.
Yeah. You had a Zepco 202 also?
Catching bullheads one after another. And boom. I mean, it didn't matter. Yeah. I was loving it. And the funny thing is, when you're talking about your 202, I had a flashback. Oh, yeah. The one I'm remembering right now was like Hunter Green plastic.
Oh, Hunter Green.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wasn't it the silver chrome fancy? Silver, yeah.
Mine wasn't either. Mine was the
Hunter Green?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy.
They were
same age. Same age.
Who knows? Kmart? Pomida, maybe back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's.
But here's my memory that came back, covered with crawler guts.
Oh,
and I tell you, and fish slime.
Mine still just covered.
Yeah. And then I laugh because look at my jigging rod now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's
look
a
at
mess.
The cork. It's just disgusting. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, but no, it's for me, it's just something that's part of me.
So your first memory was by yourself at the end of the dock kind of fishing?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of what lonely. About you?
Well, mine was...
it's lonely at the dock.
It's lonely at the end of the dock.
It's peaceful. Yeah, it's not lonely. I'd rather be there.
The fish were my friends.
Yeah, well, so I can remember one instance in particular where my dad initially was not a very good fisherman. He was, bell sinker, hook, salmon eggs, 15 of them on a hook, as many as you could get, toss it out kind of fisherman, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, and being from Michigan, that's pretty disappointing. And now that I got older, I was like, geez, you were from Michigan? What the heck, Dad? but I can remember we went down to the very west side of the Pueblo Reservoir. And that lake, when my parents came from Michigan to Colorado, they had just completed the dam. And so it was still the Arkansas River, and it was starting to fill. And within a few years, and that was 2 years before I was born, within a few years it was, you know, fairly
filling
halfway
up.
Or, you know, getting up there. And so all of the cottonwoods has started to flood. And so if anybody think of a big western river, right? It's got huge cottonwoods that line the edges of the river. And when I mean huge, I mean, you know, what do you think those are? 50, 60
feet. He's the tree guy. How tall do they get?
50, 60 feet.
You think so? I mean, yeah. I mean, well, we're in water that's 40 or 50 feet deep in there. Hitting the bottoms, tops of them. So, so anyways, but just huge cottonwoods. And so those cottonwoods were still cottonwoods. Like now they're all, you know, if the lake drops and they start to appear, they're all mangled and stuff from boats and whatever. But those were still full trees. And so I can remember fishing underneath them because they were so big and it kind of blocked out the sun. And we were casting out with our bobbers and catching sunnies. And I mean, who knows what else it was, but just casting out with those bobbers and in those trees, guys, just remember the sun coming through those trees and hooking fish and bringing them in and then getting them off and throwing them back as fast as I could and casting again. And so that was my first, and we always stop by. So, you know, I grew up out in the boonies, right? And there weren't any stores. There wasn't even a gas station out there. But there was a liquor store. Always got to be a liquor store, right?
That's the first thing.
That's the first thing that goes in. There's a liquor store. So we stopped by the liquor store, and that's when I got
hooked. Did they have bait there and stuff?
No bait, but booze. You could get pop.
Ooh.
And so we stopped by the liquor store. My dad wasn't a drinker, so he didn't buy booze or anything, but I got a can of Mountain Dew, and that's how I got hooked on Mountain Dew. I'd get a can of Mountain Dew, and we'd take it down there, and we'd fish. And
that was your day.
And that was my day. I mean, that was it, right? That was the awesome time, and so that's what I remember most.
I can see him all wound up.
Yeah,
on
he's getting all excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't even know if I drank it. Yeah, like a spider. I don't even know if I drank it, to be honest. I can't even remember really drinking it. Maybe a few sips on the way down, but once I got down to fishing, I was like you guys. I was all business.
He's all blacked out on Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah, man. Let's go. I mean, I was, you know, get down, and nothing was ever easily accessible. So, you know, you would always have to, they'd always stop you and you'd have to walk down. And I can remember walking what seemed like forever to get to the water's edge and just being focused, catching fish until we had to go and then going home.
Yeah. It was good times.
Yeah.
I when you were talking about the fish guts on your 202, oh, no, mine was pristine because my dad made me clean it. It was pristine. It had a few scratches on it. That's what makes me think it was a used
one
from a garage sale.
My 202 was a tool.
Yeah.
It was just a tool.
It was a machine, a mechanism for my...
Yes.
So I remember, too, also, now this is when we got to North Dakota, so I was that 6, 7 year age. I don't remember. But I used to do chores to be able to get like a quarter or nickel or whatever. I don't even remember.
Back then, a quarter was like wealthy.
Yes. Well, yeah. And me and a buddy, and I don't even remember his name because we were little, just about, probably a block or two from our house, was it was like an Ace Hardware. Had fishing stuff there.
Yep.
So we would go in there and spend all of our money, the whole quarter or whatever I made that week. And I bought little jigs and bobbers. So I bought my whole tackle box myself.
The red and white bobbers. I remember those, they clip on and off they go. And So if as you got older, at what point did fishing go from being something where you liked doing or hanging out to where it was, you started to get serious, right? Like you started getting the Bass Pro catalog in the mail, or you started Gander Mountain with the first
I know exactly I when it was for me.
Me too.
I was 12 or 13 when we moved to Nebraska. That's when it got big.
That's when it got serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when it got serious because so for the day, like on the weekends, my mom and dad, one of us would drive us out to this place called Two Rivers State Park, and it had like six or seven lakes on it, but they were just more like ponds. They weren't huge lakes. And they would take us there at the crack of morning when it opened up. Matter of fact, we would go to the front and they would drop us off in the state park opened up like at 6 or 7 in the morning, and their bait store opened up. So we always went with a can of corn because just in case you could use corn for anything. Dude, corn was
spray
awesome.
Spray corn with a little WD-40 and you got the world's
so you get hungry, bait. You could eat some.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. So we would wait there and they would open up and we'd go in and get worms and maybe a soda.
Yep.
And then off we walked. My parents were gone by then. They just go, see you later. They had a payphone, one of the payphones, and we'd call them when we were done, or it was at dark.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We were there for like 12 hours.
Oh, yeah. And it was nothing either. Those 12 hours went by in a snap.
It was every weekend. And then during the summer, it was 3-4 times a week.
Well, I don't think sunscreen was really invented until 1990.
Sunscreen. Joke. I used to put zinc oxide on my nose because my poor nose would get nailed. But it was like sunscreen.
But that's when I would go out. I always had to. So I had 3 or 4 buddies that I fished with all the time. And it was always me and one of them because they all didn't want to go every time. They would go like every third trip. So they wouldn't let me go by myself. So I always had to be, come on, let's go. Come on. Yeah. Finally, I'd get someone talked into it. And then when we got there, it was tournament time.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I'm going to catch more than this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So it didn't matter what it was. Yeah. We're going most of the time we went for bullheads or we went for some sort of panfish, either crappie or bluegill, because that's what we did, right? Mm-hmm. And I am telling you, it was who can catch the most in a day. So when you would come out and for the day you would have like 38 bluegill or whatever, you're like, boom!
Yeah.
I just won. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, what time we go tomorrow? Yeah.
So that was the first time, where I really got into competitive fishing. It wasn't I didn't fish my first tournament until I was 15. Mm-hmm. But for those 12 to 13 years of age, it was every day. Yeah. Not every day, but a lot of days out on the water. And then the same thing when the ice came. They would take us out there and we'd walk out. We always went to, they would only let us fish one lake for the ice fishing. They didn't open up all the lakes.
Yeah.
So we'd always, and it was right behind the tackle store. So that was nice. So we'd walk and drill our holes and fish all day and they come pick us up at dark.
Frozen.
Yeah, no kidding.
Frozen.
Now, see, we were.
It was a lot harder to get people to go with me then.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys.
See, I can remember I was probably a little younger. I was probably more around that 8, 9, 10 range because I'll never forget, we used to fish for crappie in the springtime. And crappie fishing, big, black crappies, right? And I'll never forget that we went down one time and we would fish with minnows, and very simple. My dad didn't really have it all figured out yet. And
Don't need to. That's the cool thing about fishing.
Like back then,
when you're doing it though, when you're that age or you're just, even if I wasn't to where I like fishing now to where I competitively fish.
Right.
It's still a ball to go out there, even if you only have $30 worth of gear and go sit on the shore with a bobber and get at it.
Still fishing.
It's still fishing.
Well, but it was all a progression, right? Like, you have to understand, this was probably mid-80s, maybe. Maybe a little bit earlier than that. So I was...
Well, we were almost in college then.
Yeah, you guys were like... youngsters. You guys were like 30. Yeah. You both had kids. But it was kind of crazy because we would go down, and of course, there'd be that one guy that'd be hammering them. right? I mean, we'd sit there and we'd get our few on minnows, you know, and fit, you know, we'd cast it towards a bush and a tree out in the water, and you know, the crappies would hit it. But there was that one guy who was just one after another.
You're like, what's
and
he
so,
doing?
You know, finally dad slides over, you know, and he's like, so what do you got going on there? And he had
these, tube jig.
Yes. It was a little tiny tube jig. I'll never forget. It was blue with white, like pearl white tails, like the, you know, the skirt. And no minnow. We were like, what? No bait? No bait? What are you, nuts? And so that's when he said, well, where do you find these? Because, again, we didn't have anything. Pueblo had a Kmart. That was my bait store.
And that was 10 miles away.
And that was, exactly. It was probably 10 or 12 miles away. So he's like, oh, you get out of this catalog called Bass Pro. Fishing catalog, all fishing stuff. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? I mean, I thought the guy was like.
There's a catalog just for fishing stuff?
I thought he was from the church. I was like, oh, my, like, really? Like, you're the best guy ever, right? And so we ended up figuring out what Bass Pro was. So fast forward like a year. Next spring, and
you're ordering as many tube jigs.
Well, we're trying to figure out, like, we didn't have any cash to go with having no, you know, no stores, right? So we were, but there was a grub, and I've shown you two, and actually I think I've given you some because I don't think you can buy them anymore. But Man's made a grub called a stingray grub, and it was not a paddle. I mean, it looked like a beaver tail, so it was a almost like a diamond shaped, but instead of sharp edges, it was rounded edges, and it was a grub, and it was avocado color. And that must have looked like the best, you know, the only thing I can think of is like a crawdad imitator. But that.
Tadpole.
Dude, it was amazing. Just one tail. I mean, no action, no twister tail. That's when twister tails became big and all that stuff started coming out. And no, you didn't tip it. You didn't anything. You casted it out. We were on shore. You cast it out and you just jigged it back. And you just gave it a sharp rip and let it sit. Sharp rip. And the smallmouth and walleyes wouldn't leave it alone. And I can remember when I really got crazy into fishing as we walked down to the lake one day, and we're fishing in the Marina Bay, and we walked down, there's this old guy and his wife, and I don't know how old, you know, probably in their 40s or something, but looked old to me, and they're on their lawn.
They were chairs. Probably 29.
Yeah, it might have been you too. So anyways, they were they're casting out, they're in their lawn chairs, and they're sitting there, and we've got a couple today, and they've been down there the whole day, and this is evening, right, like 3-4 o'clock. We came down, my little brother, who's 3 years younger than me, so he must have been like 6 or 7. And we just put on a clinic. Every cast, dude. Big, fat, meter, smallies that were 15, 16 inches.
And these guys are like, what in the world? These kids are schooling
and
us.
And it was everyone to the point where they just packed up and got out. My dad was laughing. He goes, well, you made them leave, you know, because we were fishing, not buying, but down the shore from them. And they got up and split there. They couldn't believe it. That's when I was like, yeah, this is pretty good times. Like, this can be fun.
This is why you fish. How about you, Mitch?
Well, you know, I fished a bunch all growing up, you know, riding my bike down to the pump house with Roy, just constantly, right? Yep. And then I left for the Navy. And, yeah, I missed my fishing for 4 years, but then I got out. Yeah. And sure enough, these dudes that I ran with in the cities, oh, yeah, we had a boat, we had some spots, and I caught my first walleye kind of pseudo Lindy rigging. It was a 6-pounder, and let me tell you,
wow,
this thing
was—that's
your
first eye.
No.
Was a 6-pounder?
I misspoke. My first big eye.
Big eye. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And where we were fishing.
That's a good
for
one. Yeah. Next, let's cover first big eye because that's a great point. A good story.
I remember that night we left. I'm just all jonesing because we had the spot. You had to be there. Oh yeah, and I bet if we went there first week of June, that would take you right to the spot.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So to me, it was a spot and how we were doing it.
Yep.
My buddy figured it out, and oh yeah, we got to jump on. Well, on our drive home, one of the guys was going off on how fishing is luck. It's all luck. And I'm like, no, it's not all luck because, you know, look at all these different skills and stuff and the location and knowing what we were, you know, blah, blah, blah down the list. And we got in this big argument about it. And I think at that point it pissed me off so much that he's like, it's all luck. You know, you got lucky tonight and got that 6-pounder. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So like Doug Stang, he says, what's the definition of luck? When preparedness meets opportunity.
Right, exactly.
Well, I love that. It's stolen from Doug Stange.
Stange Chronicles.
But it's the truth. It got me really thinking.
Yeah.
How much of it is just random luck, which I do think there is a portion of the equation that kind of comes in,
well,
if you want
to
call it
be
luck.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you can do so many things to stack your luck.
You prepare yourself.
And you're successful.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of what's driven me the whole time to be better and try to learn more. to get rid of the luck yep. and to make it more, I control what we're doing.
Yep. First biggest fish, first big eye. How old and on what?
Well, I remember my first, this is the first one I remember. Now, we caught a lot when I was young at Man's Dam. We were catching a walleye and northern. So I can't differentiate at that age. Yeah. You know, I just remember they're nice sized fish to me.
Yep.
But the first one, when you said that, when you, I knew this question was coming, I started thinking. Yeah. So when back in 92, we moved up to Northeast Nebraska in a town called Wayne. Excuse me. And it was probably about an hour or so from Gavin's Point Dam. It's the Nebraska, South Dakota border. It's Gavin's Point, Lake Yankton, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So there is a ton of walleye in that lake. Well, there's a lot of sauger in that lake. And when we used to, my buddy had a boat and we would drift this one spot all the time. And we would catch 14 to 17 inch sauger all day long. It was fun, right?
Just like, dragging jigs or
yep,
what?
Just that's all we were doing is just dragging jigs over these yep. sharp rocks. And it was every time we went up there, they were always there. And we were the only boat there ever. Never seen another boat there. So it was awesome.
Yeah. Mm.
And I remember it was probably like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 trips up there. And we've caught a lot of fish. Every day it's like a 40 fish day that we went up there. We got lucky. We never really had a bad day. And it was a little bit slower this day. And I was like, golly, we've only caught like 10. We've been out here like 2 hours. And it was pretty rocky, like I said. So you'd lose jigs and get snagged up. Well, I had one where it was, I don't know if it was dragging. I don't remember how the bite went. But I hooked it and it was like, gosh, dang it. You know, you're trying to rip it out of the mm-hmm, rocks.
Right.
And I rip it and it rips back. And I was like, holy moly, that's a big fish.
So, that's not a rock.
No. So I finally got it up. I reeled it up. And because once I learned it wasn't a rock, I stopped just cranking on it, you know, and got up to the side of the boat. We didn't even have a net because all those little ones, you're just ripping up over the shore, over the side.
I never had a net. Never until I bought my first boat.
So I get this thing up next to the side of the boat, and I'm like, I don't think I'll be able to pick this one up. So I got my rod way up high with my left hand. I'm reaching down the water, and I'm like, I can't lip it, but I want to get this thing in. So I just stick it to the side of the boat and drag it up.
Drag it up and over?
Yeah.
Flip it in like
and,
a
and it
like
wasn't,
a
it, wasn't, it wasn't great big. I mean, I've caught several bigger ones than that since.
Yeah.
But looking back, it was probably like a 26-inch
nice.
Walleye.
Yeah,
so it was
fish.
Like, seven-pounder. It was like, boom, there you go. So that was my first one that I really remember.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mine was spring. But it was a little bit later in the spring. They were done with the spawn. It was Pueblo Reservoir. I still have the picture, actually. I'll have to show you guys. I was probably 7 or 8. And I was using, I had graduated to a spinning rod that year. I was using a black and gold original.
Rapala.
Black and gold, size 13, original Rapala. And casting with a little split shot up above it. And it was right at dark, full moon. I remember looking up at the full moon when this fish hit, and he just destroyed it. We'd caught a couple more because the only reason I know that they're in the picture, but they were, you know, much smaller. He just blew it up. Just came up
How
from underneath
it
right next to shore. Hey. Easy.
He's key. He's getting there.
Talk about
it's like I'm thinking to myself, you post that picture, you're lying.
Yeah, exactly. I just will never forget it hitting, and it just sounded like, you know, like an alligator hitting something at the shore and rolling, right? And so, you know, I'm yelling, Dad, because I was fishing away from him, and I just remember the line going, taking off. And so anyways, got it in, no net, you know, drag it up on the shore. So about 4.5 pounds, same size you're talking about. But I just remember it being so gold and those huge eyes and the light. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was back in the day where you caught something like that, you took that bad boy home.
Oh yeah.
And so
especially when you're a kid, everything, hey, can we keep it?
Yep. And so
my 6-pounder went home.
Oh yeah.
Too,
yeah. Oh, so yeah. we roll home, and on the way home we stop because we didn't have a camera. So we stopped at my aunt and uncle's house, who lived about a half mile behind us. And my aunt, I'll never forget, my aunt came down to the door in a robe because it was night, you know. And, wow, look at this, you know. So she took a picture of my little brother and I and my dad holding that 4-pound fish. And I still have it. I have to find it, but I still have it.
That'd be a good one. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
What about you? Have you ever caught a big fish? I don't remember.
Yeah, I have. So that 6-pounder, I consider my first big fish.
Okay.
My really big fish came in 2004, I think. Trolling the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's the one.
That's
13 pounder.
Yeah, that's
And I'm just, we don't even have to get into the story. 13 pounder, boys.
Yeah. You win.
13, and that's good.
So you know what? Here's what's going to happen. We're going to wrap this up here. But what I want you guys to do that are listening to this is email us your stories. I mean, we get a lot of emails, right? But we want to hear your stories.
Well, and your pictures.
This.
We'll put them in. We'll put them in our Big Bite page. We, you know, we have a rash. That's kind of how Big Bite works, right? Like, we'll do a podcast like this, and we'll get 10 or 11 people that send us pictures. We'll put them in, and then we don't hear from anybody for 4 months. Yep. Send us your Big Bite pictures. We'll put them in. A little story.
We don't really pimp it up too much until we have a topic that ends up talking about Big Bite.
It's just we want to share it with everybody.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Do a little write-up on your email or on your when you send us an email to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com and also include a picture because we'll put it up on the Big Bite.
Sure.
And it could be your little kid that caught his first 1-pounder. If it's a big fish to him, we want to put it up there because it's cool.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and that brings up a good point. I want to thank everybody that sent in emails when we did the catch and release episode because, and I know we haven't had a chance to respond to them all, but some of you guys went into great in-depth info, especially you Erie guys. You guys gave us, I mean, I feel like I could walk out to Erie any day of the week now and fish and know where to go based on the information. You guys had just amazing information about the kind of the progression, how Erie became so good and and talking to DNR guys and all that. It was fabulous information. And some of it was just so much that, I haven't even had a chance personally to be able to answer it because it was so much info, but we appreciate it. We really do.
Well, from all of us, we're going to wrap it up. We'd like to thank you and make sure you follow us on Facebook and Instagram and making sure you're letting your buddies know. And go to our website, alleyesonfishing.com, where we have a lot of good apparel and things like that. If you're interested in that, we'll get it out to you. It's all handmade. We don't make it, but we don't.
I sew all day long.
Brad's in the back weaving the cotton.
We each order we have to process separately because we don't have a huge inventory.
Go out, show your support. That's how we help keep these things commercial free. We use anything that we can get from selling hats, t-shirts, hoodies, things like that. And we've sold a bunch. We have some great guys. We get pictures all the time. Mm-hmm. Guys wearing them on the beach or out fishing or whatever.
And another thing that's helped us too is the next level.
The next level is huge. We love doing the next level.
That's those that are just finding us. The next level is podcasts that are over an hour long. We go into great depth on it's mostly techniques and things that we've done in the past to make us successful. You can find that at Podbean. Or on our website, right?
No, Podbean. Go to alleyesonfishing.podbean.com and click on any of the episodes labeled Next Level, and it will prompt you to subscribe. For the cost of a dozen night crawlers a month, you can get...
Maybe leeches.
Leeches.
Combo does.
Ooh, I like combos.
It's not that expensive.
You can get a Next Level subscription, and we release at least 2 episodes a month, if not 3, depending on if it's a long month or, if we can get the third one out, we will. But that's where we will be doing most of our interviews and things like that.
So we appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.